So glad you're with us today as we continue a series in a New Testament letter called Galatians. And if you're joining us somewhere along the way here, you know, we have been looking at this idea of being free from religion, which on some level sounds a little bit strange. You go, well, isn't that what we're a part of today? But the Apostle Paul wrote this letter because there were people who had heard about the grace and love that is found only in Jesus. And they said yes to that, and they put their hope and their trust in Jesus. But then they also had some other people who showed up and said, well, that's the starting point, but we're here to tell you all the other things that you need to do in order to hold on to that relationship, to really move that relationship forward. And when Paul hears about that, he writes this letter as if to say, no, 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 no. Because all that does is combine the things that human beings create, these man-made ways in which to work our way into God's good favor, when everything that we need to be made right with God and to walk with God is found only in His grace. So to this point, to bring you up to speed on where we've been, Paul's just been hammering the difference between religion and a relationship with God. What is religion? Man's attempt to work their way into God's good favor. What is a relationship? God, primarily in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, working His way all the way to us and inviting us into a relationship. Paul used the term, we have been adopted into the family of God. Stark contrast between those. He contrasts law and grace, right? Law was not a bad thing. It was given by God, but what it became was this idea that, hey, we now will define exactly how much you need to do in order to clear the bar that gets you to God. And the law was never given for that purpose. Ultimately, it was there to show us, you know what we need? We need grace. And grace, by its very definition, is a gift. It is undeserved, unmerited favor. Another way to put it is a contrast between D-O and D-O-N-E. You know what? You need to get busy. You need to start doing. You need to try harder. You need to do more. You need to keep more lists and more endless rules versus Jesus paid for our sin. And when you put your trust in Him, you are made right with God. You belong to Him. Everything necessary has already been done. We don't have anything to prove. We simply get to respond. And then really, you know, what we often know on a human level is how performance feels, right? You need to perform. You need to do better. You need to try harder. And what that does is it gets our focus on us and maybe on each other, because am I doing better than you? And I might be doing better than that person, but I'm not doing as well as them. And where does that leave me? And it leaves us with a whole bunch of questions and unanswered anxiety, as opposed to the reality that we've been welcomed. We've been accepted by God in a relationship with Him. And Paul, in the early part of the letter, has really been trying to drill home this idea. Religion, law, do, and performance leads you to have a faith that is suffocating under a cold, hard layer of religion. But relationship, grace, what Jesus has done, and being accepted by God leads to life. And now he takes a little bit of a turn, because now that he's established that, Paul's going to say, so what does that mean? What do we do with that? And how do we make that real? How do we apply that to the lives that we live? And so as he begins to move in that direction, I want to show you a video here, and it's a video of a commercial. And we're not going to show a commercial because we're advocating some product. This one happens to be a tax thing. It is because this commercial drives home one single point, and Paul is going to try to drive home one single point to us. See if you can guess what the focus of this commercial is all about. Check this out.
And free, and free, and free, and free, and free, not a better damn free, and free, donor damn free, and free, and here, for free, 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 for free, 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 and free, donor damn, donor damn, make it on free, for free, 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 and free, and free, and free, and free, 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 and free, here we go, it free, and free, and free, free, and free, donor damn free, it free, and here, free, 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 free.
That's right, TurboTax Free Edition is free, 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 free.
Did you get the message? What is it? It's free, right? And here's why we do that. Here's what Paul says next. For freedom, Christ has set us free for free, free, free. He is driving home this idea that, you know what? It isn't about doing more. It isn't about trying harder. It isn't about my performance versus yours. And am I doing better last week than I'm doing this week? And where does that leave me? Christ has set us free. But I think there's a really good question that comes along with that. And we might ask, you know, well, free from what? And we might say, well, is it, you know, free from sin and free from doing all those things that, you know, we would do maybe apart from God and all of that. But remember what the whole context has been to this point. It is freedom from religion. It is freedom from this idea that somehow it is up to me, even 1% of what it means to be made right with God or to grow closer to God or to move forward in my relationship with God. We're free from all of that. Don't have to go there anymore. And so he goes on and he says, so stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And for a long time, my idea was, yeah, you know, I don't want to fall back into this whole idea of sin, and that's like a yoke of slavery. But remember, this is about religion. And he's calling us to say, don't go there. Because the only thing that we find there is unanswered questions and anxiety that plagues us and the guilt that weighs us down. And he says, there is not an answer there. Instead, you've been set free. Well, we go, well, okay, how so? Free for what? And if there's something inside of us that maybe goes, well, you know, it sounds a little bit loose, you know, when all you do is talk about grace, I mean, does that mean anything goes? And if you're worried about that, just hang in there because Paul's going to address that too. But before he answers that, he is going to drive home this idea that it is about what Jesus has done for us, not what we do in any way, shape, or form. Here's what he says next. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. And he's zeroing in on one specific issue called circumcision. And we might say, okay, and it's going to come up a number of times in this section. What's the big deal about circumcision, Paul? Why are you drilling down on an issue like that? And after all, that goes all the way back to Abraham. Jesus, you know, was circumcised. The Bible in the New Testament tells us that. And the 12 apostles were circumcised. They were Jewish men who were following, you know, what was called for there. And so they did it. Now you're saying it's of no advantage there. And it seems like, you know, you're making a big deal out of that. Even today, that's still a procedure. In fact, let's take a little bit of a survey here. How many got? No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. That would be a little bit uncomfortable, right? And he's saying, why are you saying when it's a no advantage? Because when you look in the Old Testament, you see it there over and over again. Here's why. Because the people that followed him and said, here's the list of things that you need to do. You know what step number one was? The thing that could not be debated in any way was this idea. The sign of God's covenant that was given so long ago. And it was sort of the entry point. It was sort of step number one. It was if you went to the membership class, that would be just a no-brainer, which really cut down the membership, you know, attendance because people were saying, I'm not so sure about that. And what Paul is saying is it will be of no advantage to you. Why not? I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is, what's the next word? Obligated. Doesn't that just feel heavy? Obligated to keep the whole law. So you want to add a thing or two there? What could be the harm in that, right? Paul's saying, but hey, if you go the route of following the law, you got to follow the whole thing. And if you're going to go in just a little bit, you can't just dip your toe in the water there. You got to do the whole thing from beginning to end. And what does that become? It becomes an obligation, not because the laws that God gave were bad, because what mankind did was turn it into some way in which to work our way into God's good graces. And it can never do that. It doesn't work. And this is coming from Paul, who, by the way, was a Pharisee before he met Jesus dramatically one day. The Pharisees were the master of identifying all the rules and keeping all of the rules. They tried really hard, and you gotta love their motivation. Their heart was right. We wanna get serious about God, and we wanna really identify what does it mean to walk with God, and not just say it in theory, not just talk about principles. What does it actually look like? But whenever that encounters the broken human heart, something can get squirrely and it can go sideways. For example, in the Bible, it talks about taking a Sabbath day, right? That God rested on the seventh day. And for people to cease and desist from their normal, you know, work is a good thing. It's a healthy thing. We were created for that. But here's where it encountered this whole idea. Well, okay, what does that really mean? And along the way, people said, well, what does it mean to work? And you obviously have to live. So what's the difference between being alive, living, and working? And so people said, well, okay, on the Sabbath, if you're working, you're lifting a certain amount of food to your mouth. And so you can't have a heavy fork on the Sabbath. We'll make a Sabbath fork because that will allow you to lift less to your mouth. And therefore, you're not working. And do you see how it just becomes this endless amount of rules that get so specific and leave people with nothing but anxiety? Where does it leave me? As Paul says, and if you buy into that just a little bit, you got to buy the whole thing. You can't just pick and choose. You can't just dabble. You can't just do one thing and leave all of the rest of the things undone. You take a little bit, you got to take it all. If you do that, he says, you are severed from Christ, and you realize he's still talking about that whole little medical procedure there, and he's using it as an illustration now, that if you're following the law and you're going to go in that direction, what you're doing is cutting yourself off from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, trying to make ourselves right before God, you have fallen away from grace. Fallen away. And again, many times what that means for folks is, well, you've fallen into sin and you've fallen into things that are just leading you away from God. But Paul, in this context, is saying you've fallen from grace into religion. Grace is the hallmark of following the Jesus of the Bible. Grace is God's undeserved gift to us. It is what he has done for us. And if grace is a gift, imagine being presented with a gift, and then what are you trying to do? Well, now I'm trying to work it off, and I'm trying to do all the things that I'm supposed to do in order to get that gift, and that makes it not a gift, not anymore. Here's maybe just a weird example. So let's say after the service, you come up and you say, hey, Roy, I got this $50 gift card to a restaurant here. I just want to give you this gift. And imagine if I say, oh, well, thanks a lot. And you know what? I've got 50 bucks on me here. Let me give you $50. And they're like, no, it's a gift. Just take the gift. Well, how about 40? I got 40. I'll give you 40. And no, it's a gift. All right, how about 20? How about a 20? Here, let me give you a 20. And if you at that point go, okay, you know, 20, it's no longer a gift. You know what it is? It's a discount. And people who are saying, yeah, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Now, let me get to work. And you know what that makes it? Makes a relationship with God a discount. Let me work it off. Let me make it up to you. Let me pay for at least a portion of it. And I get that so much of our world works that way, but Paul is saying, you know what, in the arena of faith, it does not work that way. That we have been invited into a relationship with him, and we are not justified by the law. That is a legal term that means to be made right with God. Doesn't happen that way. Any amount of human effort for the purposes of earning God's favor turns a gift into a discount. And so Paul is warning them and cautioning these people that he cares so much about. Don't go in that direction, because even if you go just a little bit, you're missing all of it. Paul goes on, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. And what he says in these two verses here is so packed and so full. We could spend a long time here, but we're not going to, because there's so much here. And this might make us a little bit nervous, especially we're thinking, it just sounds so loose and so open and like people can just go hog wild. But here's what Paul says. That we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. Now, in our language, the word hope often means wishful thinking. It means I hope so. So right now, you could say to me, hey, I know your baseball team, God's team, is in first place by 5 games. Are they going to make it, you know, to the playoffs and win the World Series? And I would go, oh, the New York Mets, I hope so. I hope so. But it's definitely not the Yankees. We know that. But if we say that, right, that's wishful thinking. But in the Bible, hope never means that. And this is one of those things we lose in translation. Hope means a confident assurance. It is something that is secure. It is something that we can know is going to happen. And what Paul is talking about is that we might feel very motivated by fear. Hey, God loves you, but if you don't keep this long list of rules, you know, he may not. And that's a motive of fear, right? And anxiety and guilt. And we know that that just weighs us down and wears us out. And Paul says, there's a different motivation. That when you've put your trust in Jesus, the confidence of what is to come is secure. It's why somebody could write a song about it is well with my soul when he lost his family. Why? Because of the difference that Jesus makes, that there's another day coming. And there is nothing and no one that can ever change that. And that motivation that God has given all those things by his grace and his power, it's not up to me to make it happen. And so Paul says we can be motivated by what God has accomplished for us and not be motivated by fear and by anxiety. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. And now he's not opposed to the procedure, but he's saying when we're trying to earn our way into God's good graces, it doesn't matter either way. It doesn't accomplish anything. But notice this radical statement, but only faith working through love. What counts for something? Paul, you're saying only faith working through love? That's it? That's it. Paul, do you know how thick the Bible is? Do you know how much stuff is in there? And you're going to tell us that it's only faith working through love? That's it. And I wonder if there's something inside of us that goes, I don't know, that sounds really scary. And like, anybody can do whatever they want and define whatever they want, however they want. But Paul's saying, only love, ultimately. Faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion, guilt, anxiety, performance is not from him who calls you. That's not the kind of relationship that God has invited you into. That's not from him. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And what is he saying with that? You know what leaven is? Another word for that, or more common word for that, is yeast. Yeast is a single cell fungus. Doesn't that sound appealing, right? That we put into our foods, and there it is. It's just this tiny little seed, and you put just a little bit into that, of that, into some dough, and you get something that rises. It's the difference between a cracker and bread, right? It's this whole idea of yeast. And here's what Paul is doing by presenting this picture, that when you take a little bit of trying to earn God's favor by what we do, it's going to find its way into everything that we do. And so grace is really an all or nothing deal. It's either grace or it's not. And Paul calls the people that he cares about to grace. And then he gets a little bit R-rated. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Now, if we think that trash talking is a new thing in our day, It's been around for a long time. Now, we do that during football season here, and I would just say, Raider fans, brace yourselves, because it's coming, okay? But here's Paul, who's trash-talking these people who came and said, here's the long list of rules that you need to do. And remember, he was talking about a little procedure that involves some cutting, and here's what his, you know, idea is, and this is just brilliant. He's saying, hey, if a little bit of cutting is good, a lot of cutting must be super spiritual. So why don't they just go the whole way? And this ridiculous picture is really pointing out the ridiculousness of religion. And if we think we can just add a little bit to it, why don't we just go the whole way? And then Paul goes on. For you were called to freedom. And there it is again, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. And there is Paul's caution that, hey, if you think that grace means anybody can do anything they want, his answer is no. That's not what it means either. The flesh is our human nature. And if we think, hey, you know what? I'm free to do whatever I want, so I'm just going to, you know, take into my body whatever I want. I'm just going to be with whoever I want, and I'm going to think whatever I want. Paul says, no, it's not that. He's saying religion's not the way. He's saying just doing our own thing is not the way. That following Jesus is something different. Something entirely different. And wouldn't you agree that sometimes when we've indulged the flesh, that it leads to a slavery of a whole different kind? You know, I didn't think that drinking that beverage would wind up with me enslaved to it. But sure enough, that happens. I didn't think that logging on to certain websites would lead me to be enslaved to that. And yet it does. I didn't think that maybe being in a relationship and needing that would become an enslavement. But it has. So it's not the religious route. It's not the do whatever I want to route either, because this heart of mine is very broken. It's something different. It's following after Jesus. And what does that mean? But through love, serve one another. And again, Paul, are you going soft now? I mean, where's the teeth in that? Where are the things that we are called to do? Paul says, the only thing that counts is faith working itself out through love. Through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word or one saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That second line is a quote from the Old Testament, from what was often referred to as the law. It's from a book called Leviticus. And it's as if Paul the Pharisee is saying, it was there all along. Well, why didn't we see it? Why didn't we know it? Why didn't we understand it? Why did we follow all these rules if it has been there all along? Probably because the man-made ideas about all the things we need to do obscured grace that had been there from the very beginning. But it's not like God has changed his message. But corrupted religion obscures grace that has been in God's heart and mind from the very start. And if it sounds a little bit, I don't know, sounds kind of loose, here's what a really smart pastor from the last generation, Martin Lloyd-Jones, says. Any true explanation of what the Bible says about grace carries this sense of danger, that the preacher is going too far, that he's too lax on sin. If he does not have this element of danger about it, then he's not preaching grace. Can grace be abused? Absolutely. Happens all the time. But it doesn't change the reality of what it is. Our only hope to experience life with God in the way that he intended. So let's summarize what we've, you know, kind of worked through here in this passage. What is the product of relationship with Jesus? Freedom. Free, for free, free, free. And what does that mean, though? And what is it in contrast with? The product of religious legalism is slavery. The sense of burden of being just completely ensnared in a system that is rigged, that nobody can overcome, with rules and regulations that nobody could ever keep. And in their honest moments, they know it. I could always do more. I could always do better. So where does that leave me? Enslaved. The application of grace is serving in love. That's what it looks like. That if we experience freedom and we understand what it means to have nothing to prove, to not need to perform, that we're not in competition with each other. I don't have to be obsessed with my own behavior, which often happens in this whole idea of all the things that I need to do, but instead my focus and my attention can be on the one who has come to my rescue. And what do I do in response to that? How do I apply that? Paul says you serve one another in love. You want to apply that freedom? That's what it looks like. And so maybe it's a little bit corny, because I am free, I put thee ahead of me. And do you see how that works and how that is contrasted with the whole idea of religion, where I get so focused on me, myself, and I, and all the things that I am trying to do. But when it's all done and I got nothing to prove, I'm free to follow Jesus. I'm free to serve you, and it makes all the difference in the world. It leads to an entirely different experience with the Jesus of the Bible. And I would venture to say that this idea is something that is not just an idea that we believe at Washington Heights. It's something that we're trying to put in practice. And if you've been around Washington Heights for any length of time, you'll know that one of the things we like to do, we call them compassion projects. You know, there's God's Garage, people donate their vehicles, volunteers fix them up, we give them away to single moms, no strings attached. Why do we do that? Because we're free. And the grace that we have received is something that we want to show in real ways to the world and the culture that is around us. We take, you know, different collections for different groups that are experiencing difficulty, most recently on the Navajo Nation. Why would we do that? Because everything that we need to be right with God is already done. And how we respond to that just makes it real. And allows God's love and compassion to be shown in real ways. No strings attached, just like God's grace to us. There's another one of those compassion projects coming up here very soon. And it's called Serve Ogden. Actually, this one's going to be Serve South Ogden. There's an area of homes just across the street here, where we're going to go for 1 week, and you don't have to be there the entire week. You can be there for part of it, for a couple hours, whatever your schedule allows. And we're just going to work on people's homes, no strings attached. Why would we do that? Because we're free to serve one another in love. And if you're wondering, what in the world does Serve Ogden look like and what does that mean? We put together a little video of the last time we did that a couple years ago. Check this out. Happens a little slower in real life than that, but and we throw those dates back up there. We just want to let you know about that. Probably not. August 9th to the 13th. And so if you want to mark your calendars and hope that you can be a part of it in some way for some time, again, you don't have to be there for the entire time. Why do we do that? Because we're free. Free to do what? Free to do whatever we want. Free to serve one another in love. And to engage our community in ways like that shows God's love in real ways. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads together with me. And just before I pray, could it be that in your own life, the only way you've ever thought about relating to God is by doing and by trying harder, by doing more, by being better? And it just felt like this endless treadmill of performance that could just never be done right. There's incredible good news if you've been in that space. Jesus came and accomplished everything that was necessary for people like us to be in a relationship with him. It's grace. It's a gift. What do you do with a gift? You don't pay for it, any amount of it. You just receive a gift. And if maybe for the first time you want to take that step of faith and trust, I invite you to do that just between you and God. And you can just acknowledge to him who we are and that your desire is to trust him. And you're believing that what he did for you by dying on a cross, rising again from the dead, made payment for your sins, and is the thing that makes us right with God, the thing that we could never do ourselves, and is committing to follow after him the rest of your days. And God, we thank you for setting us free. Free from cold, hard religion. Free from these broken hearts of ours. That there's a third option. And that is following the God who loves us like no other. And so God, lead us in that direction that allows us to experience more of what you have intended for us and allows us to experience more of the freedom to serve one another. Not to prove anything, not to earn anything, but just as a response to amazing grace. And we thank you for the way that you love us. Thank you for so much grace that is there many times in spite of who we are. We thank you for the love of God. And we ask and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.